The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to another Curry and Clapo here, live from Vulcan Park. I want to thank the fine folks from Vulcan for having us up every Thursday morning here as we get after it, talk about a bunch of different things. We'll be on Fox 6 a little bit later on this morning, 9:35, with Janice Rogers and Mike Dubberly talking about
Thanksgiving survival.
Yes.
I have my favorite. Oh, I can't wait. I always give my favorite survival tip. I have many of them, but I have one. It's just mine. Don't use it. I can't tell you because you might use it first because you always talk.
I won't. I got my own.
Okay. Mine is, what's your escape route? Yeah. Where's your escape plan before you ever go to Thanksgiving, including if people are coming to your place? It doesn't matter. You must have it. You can either have it written down or right here. And actually, now that I think about it, you should have some contingency plans within the escape plan. Escape plan A, you know, they say when you're going to, in an emergency, how am I going to get out? I can get out this way. The exit may be behind you. I say at least three different
ways. Now, what are we talking about? Are we talking about bringing up topics and things that make us feel uncomfortable? Politics, sex, and religion is the things we're supposed to talk about?
Yeah, that, or you're like, you have a relative who's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And they're just irritating the crap out of you. Or you've been sitting there, we've talked about this, you're sitting there, you've been there for like 4 hours or 5 hours. Yeah. And it's just people are just eating and watching football. And in theory, it sounds great. And it is great for like, I don't know, 90 minutes? 2 hours?
That's why football's so good on Thanksgiving.
Well, no, it is. It is.
Because we know the women that go into the kitchen and they'll go in there and cook and gossip, and the guys sit in front of the TV and drink and don't say a word for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours. Which is why we get along better.
It is. If you can go there.
Yeah.
But then there's a lot of times like, hey, you're not being part of the group.
See, now it depends on, because every family dynamic is different.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Maybe it's just the inner family, and you know what to expect every year, and it's the only time you see each other every year.
It's wonderful.
And everyone kind of goes off in their own. Because in my family, we have a group that goes outside.
Yes,
we have a group that watches TV.
Mm-hmm.
We have a group that talks in the kitchen and drinks wine. And so everyone's kind of got their own little thing.
But it's not always that way. And the dinner table is the most critical place. It's where things can either sort of hang on or they can completely get derailed. And it's usually because we're spend 20 minutes at the dinner table, like just snarf your food and move back, move to your separate corners is good. It's when you linger at the table, because the longer you linger, the greater the chance that somebody is going to say something that doesn't even have to be over the top.
We call it the post dinner conversation. There's always two or three people that don't get up from the table.
You're right. Which is,
while everyone else is cleaning up dishes and stuff, there's always two or three people that are sitting at the table that want to start some type of discussion before we start playing cards and having pumpkin pie. And that's when I get up and move.
Yes. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be. See, I think that there's the obvious stuff. Differences in politics, differences in worldviews, religions, you know, that cousin or sister or brother who you thought this way and you haven't seen them in a year and you're like, what the hell happened to you? There's those. Those are kind of obvious. You see them coming. And for me, when you see those coming, if you choose to engage, fine, good luck.
Yeah.
It's the subtle ones. Mm-hmm. It's the nuances. It's, oh, Catherine's going to the Ivy League. How's Billy doing? What's he doing? Oh, staying in school? Staying at home? Oh, okay. And it's like in those moments where you feel that, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? If I'm sitting there, if I was your psychologist, I'm like, right behind you, what are you going to do?
No.
You got a choice point right now. And that's when you need your escape route.
Do you have your escape route? Yeah.
And I'm going to go get coffee. I'm going to watch the football game.
That's what you do.
It's hard. Because they're attacking your kid, but kind of not really.
See, and in my family, we never had, while we have a bunch of differences, and I can think of a couple of people in my family that are tell it like it is, right?
Yeah. They shoot straight.
They just shoot straight. They tell it like it is. And no matter how bad it gets, we're going to leave this table and we're all going to give each other a hug and we're going to see each other next year. But but we all, yeah, I mean, it's just okay to get up and walk away from a situation like that. I like to keep moving. I don't ever stay in one place too long.
No, I've watched you in social settings.
So I get in, I dab a little bit.
Yep.
I may even throw a stink bomb in there and then walk out.
That's
fine. I'll throw a ham sandwich into a room full of fat people and watch them scarf it after it.
You can't use the word fat.
But I like to move around. And if
that's smart.
If I'm moving around, then if I get into a situation where like, what are we all talking about? Then I probably don't need to know, and I'll just get up walking.
Well, see, and that's really smart because the movement decreases the chance.
That's going to be mine, by the way. Just keep moving around.
Right.
Keep moving.
Even in a small house.
Yes.
Well, you might have to move.
Well,
right.
Go outside.
Right.
Take a leak. Go make another drink. You know, if you got kids, you can always use them as a buffer. If you've got a wife or a husband, I need to talk to you for a minute. Just separate yourself.
Oh, we have our whole.
Yeah.
Jules and I have the whole, like, when it's time to leave thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was like, it's like, when I look at you, we're out.
Yeah.
You know, and then we actually haven't agreed upon, we have to stay at least this long.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, it's whoever needs to tap out first.
Yeah.
Then we go.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, the other thing is when you're visiting a family from out of town.
You're visiting?
Yes.
Oh, you're screwed.
And
because you can't, where do you
get a hotel room?
Oh, you mean compared to staying there?
Yes.
Oh,
they're
going to
say,
it doesn't matter how
you need to have
absolutely. We need to say that no matter how cheap that hotel has to be,
if it takes quarters in the bed,
you got to pitch a tent in a parking lot. No matter how, and okay, so here's the other thing, because I've seen, you know, obviously if the house is not that big,
yeah,
it's an easy like, well, you know, we appreciate it, but. But I've got some relatives who've got like a big house, mm-hmm. and there's like a wing. You could just go, oh, please, it's the entire wing, it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, because I don't want to
infringe.
But it's no, but for my personal, is I don't want to be, I need to be psychologically distant from mm-hmm. you after I've spent 4 hours.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you talk to me or I'm on your wing or not, just knowing I'm in your house makes me,
and then depending on whether you have kids,
right,
in different times when they need to go down, this, that, and the other.
Oh, that's a whole
thing.
The
other thing that I always did, and I felt comfortable enough with my own family to do this, I have my own routine.
Yeah.
And so I go to bed at 9 o'clock.
Right.
And so when I get tired, I'm like, oh, come on, you know, we're gonna go out and play ping pong out in the barn, whatever, blah 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 blah.
That's
I'm
smart.
Like, listen, this is my regimen. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's
I have an
smart.
Early day. Our kids got their own regimen. We have our own routine. We're here to have a great time. But when I shut it down, I shut it down.
See,
and
so, that's
and that's yep. that's another escape route to
it
to,
is,
to go to
but
bed.
But that's an also that's a boundary thing that it's healthy.
Yeah.
Like that's healthy. People, this is the whole holiday thing. It's everybody stretches their, you know, we're out of our routine, mm-hmm. and we have to decide how far are we going to stretch.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, nobody likes the person who says, I'm sorry, I can't eat. Well, actually, I'm that person. The whole Thanksgiving, like families who have like dinner at 3.
Yeah.
What the F is that? That is not dinner. It is not lunch. And it's not dinner. This is where my rigidity comes in.
Yeah.
We're either having Thanksgiving lunch, which I don't like, mm-hmm. or we're going to have Thanksgiving dinner. Mm-hmm. If we're going to have lunch, it's going to be noon-ish.
Yeah.
We're going to have dinner, it's going to be 5-ish. 3 to 4 is nothing.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
For snacks.
But I don't like
pigs,
it.
It's pigs in a blanket time. We call it pigs in a blanket
time. That's, well, even that.
Kids, yeah.
No.
You have to have food all day.
Well, that, it can be out all day,
yeah.
but I don't want to sit down at 3 o'clock for whatever that is. Because then the other problem is, then you're done. Then what do?
Watch
you
football.
Want football?
Yeah. Go play ping pong out in the barn till.
See, I got made. Well, it's not made, but like you know, my family. I'm in this weird family situation now because I got one kid in England.
Yeah.
I got one kid living with me, and kid, they're adults.
Yeah.
We don't have any other. You know, extended family is far away. So like Thanksgiving's me, Jules, and Adair.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Yeah. It's good.
And then you know what happens?
You don't need the 20-pound turkey.
No, yet. I don't get it. That's my favorite. You know that's my favorite meal of the year.
I know.
Or not of the year. That it, the dying meal,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to have a big steak. Not me. Thanksgiving spread.
No.
No rolls.
No rolls.
No rolls. Rolls are filler.
All right, we'll talk about that on Fox 6. we'll get into that. Also, a very interesting story you brought up, kind of serious, about mm-hmm. Lane Kiffin. The University of Ole Miss is being sued for $40 million as part of a a lawsuit from DeSanto Rollins, who is a player that evidently is having some mental...
mental health problems.
Mental health, yeah. And basically, well, tell him the story, because I mean...
So, DeSanto Rollins had undisclosed mental health problems, and he took 2 weeks off.
Scholarship player for Ole Miss.
Right, took 2 weeks off. I would consider it, and my understanding is it's essentially like a medical leave, which college students can do. Well, I mean, you could have, I don't know, you can have pancreatitis, you can have depression.
Yeah.
But what Coach Kiffin got mad about was that there wasn't communication between Rollins and him.
Oh.
Lane Kiffin asked multiple times, I need you to come meet with me.
And he never did.
He never did. There is some question, and I don't know this, but there's some question about a lot of times in on college campuses, particularly with athletes, they'll have what's called a medical or a mental health liaison.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you went to counseling, you're not well,
yeah.
And there's somebody who's supposed to essentially report, hey, look, coach, they're out on mental health leave, they're getting treatment, they're okay. It is unclear whether, that liaison told Coach Kiffin and Coach Kiffin didn't find that okay, or that liaison never told Kiffin.
Yeah.
But he tried to reach out to Rollins multiple times and never showed. And then they had the interaction, which got taped.
Mm-hmm.
And
unbeknownst to Lane Kiffin.
Unbeknownst to Lane Kiffin.
Which, obviously,
that's not right.
It's not illegal, but it's not a...
Not right at all.
A good look.
And he... His points... This is what I say. The content that he put out there...
And by the way, the story, the original story, yeah, Darren Revelle wrote out,
right,
was paraphrased.
Right.
Did not have the entire...
It just had the...
Basically made Lane Kiffin look like he was an uncompassionate piece of shit.
Right.
Not empathetic at all towards his mental disability or whatever it was.
Right.
And when you listen to the entire thing, it certainly sounds like he did the best he could to understand the situation he was in. He basically analogized it like, listen, if you're working in this world of ours, mm-hmm, and all of a sudden your boss keeps asking you, hey, listen, you need to come in and talk to me and let me know what the hell's going on.
If you don't do that,
you're going to get fired for it.
Which is...
By the way, the player is still on scholarship. He's still on the team.
And this was my point. What he was trying to convey was great.
Yeah.
But when you go on an F-bomb tirade, and if you listen to it and read the transcript...
No, you need to listen to it. You can read the transcript, but you need to listen to it.
Right.
Because it always sounds different when you listen to it.
And listen to it. He's going on and on and on.
Yeah.
And even though he's saying, in the real world, I need you to come talk to me, blah, 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 he is so agitated,
mm-hmm,
that... He loses credibility. And this is what I said to you. I work with coaches. I work with leaders all the time. You getting mad and expressing it that way, you lose your credibility, particularly even in the locker room. He just kept going off. And here's the other thing, frankly, just from a communication standpoint. Mm-hmm. Lane, you repeated yourself 17,000 times.
Yeah.
You said in, whatever, 3.5 minutes, what you could have said in 30 seconds, and then got quiet and said to him,
agree,
what do you think?
I agree.
But that's the point. And again, so my frustration that you hear me is, Lane, you had an opportunity to say what you needed to say the right way. You just didn't say it the right way.
You're right.
That's all.
Ultimately, I think he was compassionate enough, and he did understand the situation. He said, I'm not saying you're faking it. I'm not saying any of those things. So he said all the right things as far as if you're looking at the lawsuit aspect of it.
Yeah, from a lawsuit,
he did all the right things. Did he do it the right way? No.
No.
Did he say the right things in so much 17 times? Yes.
But it matters. Yeah. It matters for a couple reasons. One, particularly if this kid was, if this kid's depressed or has an anxiety or whatever it is.
He's
not well. Yeah. I mean, that's like the equivalent of saying, I don't know, you know, you got type 1 diabetes, you know, and you just go on a rant about your type 1 diabetes. You don't do that. This is not about babying. This is not about, and the message about the real world thing was great. But when you lose your shit, when you lose it, in the locker room,
yeah,
in the boardroom,
yeah,
with your spouse, with your kids, you lose credibility because you look like a crazy person.
Yeah.
And that's the part that my frustration, frankly, is twofold. It's four lane, because you had a great opportunity and you said the right things, you just locked her. And having had grad students who've done this, it's for Rollins, it's more of the parental look, you did need to let coach know. And even, I'll go one step further. Let's say you weren't comfortable meeting with coach. Just mm-hmm. whatever, you're in a bad, dark place.
Yeah.
At least communicate with him.
Yeah.
You can't ghost him. That's the part that
you can't.
That was not.
That's true. I agree with everything you had. I can't debate you on any of it.
Find something.
Yeah, but well, you know.
It's locker room.
If you're talking about someone who's going through some type of mental deficiency or disability or health issue, the last thing you need to hear is,
yeah, you piece of shit.
What, you piece of shit? What the hell? What the F is wrong with you? You can't have to do this.
I mean,
That's not going to help the cause. Something stinks about this whole situation. The fact there's a $40 million lawsuit.
Yeah, that part.
This whole thing's just retired.
I hope.
I'm signing with Lane Kiffin on this, but this could be a learning moment, or should be a teaching moment
for Lane Kiffin.
He's a head. Well, he needs to. And, you know, hopefully he'll see this. And he'll, sometimes when you go off on a rant, and, you know, I'm not a rant kind of guy.
No.
You know, I associate it or analogize it with a comedian who constantly drops F-bombs.
Yeah, right. That's
Sam Kennison, you know, was funny. But after a while, it was the same shtick over and over and over again. And it got to the point. But when you have a comedian that does not use that type of language, and then all of a sudden uses it occasionally, it really has an impact.
Oh, absolutely.
Much like, you know, Nick Saban when he's on Hey Coach and drops the S word or whatever.
That's it.
Like, yeah!
That's exactly.
Because you're not used to hearing that type of language. But when it's just over and over and over again, that's what that... That's
well, and here, listen, just from a psychological standpoint, when you hear anybody repeating themselves in their sort of... scolding of you.
Yeah.
Parents do this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You say it 17 times, and you didn't clean your room, and you effing didn't clean your room, and you didn't clean your room, and you're not responsible. At some point, particularly if your child is like over 12, they've totally tuned you out, A. B, again, you look, Lane, you look like the idiot.
Yeah.
Even though you were right, you look like the idiot because you didn't shut up.
Yeah.
I was listening to it, the whole thing, and I'm like, that was great. Shut up.
Shut up, yeah.
That was great. Stop.
Yeah.
Even if you just pause and then pick up again.
Yeah.
But he didn't. That was frustrating.
No, he was wearing his ass out.
He
made his point, and there's nothing better when you make a point in a really short period of time.
Could you see Nick? I could see Nick Saban doing that. I could see Nick Saban going on.
Well, first of all, the case would have just been dead in the water if he had said, listen, here's how the real world works.
Yes.
You need to keep in touch with me. I'm sorry you're going through this, and we'll get you all the help you need.
Yep.
But you can't do this. In the real world, if you have a boss, you're fired for it, blah, 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 and then stop. And then let it go. And that would have been perfect. But, you know, I always try to remember, because I work with guys that obviously were in locker rooms, and I realize it's a different locker room etiquette.
I get it. I'm not
and,
just...
you know, that's why it's really hard to mic up players during football games in the National Football League, because there's so many F-bombs and something and the other, because there's all this testosterone and all this. And so, and again, I don't know what kind of day Kiffin was having.
It doesn't matter.
It does not matter. It doesn't matter the situation he was in. Doesn't matter what situation he's going into.
Right.
And what I think ended up probably happening is he was chasing the chicken in the backyard, and he finally caught it.
Yep.
If you've ever had chickens?
Nope.
Or a dog?
Yep.
Or you're a police officer and you're running after someone in the field.
Yep.
What usually happens? The nightstick comes out and you lose your shit and you beat the hell out of them.
But you're paid to not do that.
So after 2 or 3 weeks of not hearing from this player and going, what the hell's going on? I'm the coach.
Yep.
You're scholarshiped here. We're giving you a place and we're giving you everything you need. And now all of a sudden you're in my office. I'm gonna wear your ass out. And that's what he did. And that's not the way. And again, easier said than done, probably for a guy like Lincoln.
But
and it's funny because this stuff came out right before the Georgia game,
right,
which was the biggest game of the year for them, and obviously they got their ass beat.
Yep.
So there was a lot on the line there. So he was probably going through a hell of a week getting ready for Georgia as well. So
guess what, Lane? Yeah. How much does he get paid, you think? What's this?
It's $6-7 million a year.
That's it?
Yeah, I think it's about $6-7 million.
Kirby's buyout was $76 million.
Jimbo Fisher,
I'm sorry.
$77 million.
Man. Yeah. If you get paid that much, and this is the other thing. We've talked about this on other shows. You're in this amazing position of power.
Mm-hmm.
You get to say whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
You get to do
it.
You get to do that. But by definition, if you're getting paid that much, you should be better than that.
I agree.
You should be better than that.
I agree.
I don't care if you use an F-bomb or not. It's not the F-bomb.
Hopefully a learning moment. Because most times when people go off and they start cussing, they don't ever get a chance to hear themselves.
That's true.
When's the last time you went off? Could you imagine listening to yourself go off? I mean,
yeah.
Because you go back and you go, wow. That's when you go back in and say, honey, I said some things I didn't mean to say, and I really apologize.
That's a really good point.
Recorded and to go back in, because I can guarantee you, Lane Kiffin has actually hurt himself. Hopefully this has been a teaching moment for him.
Yeah.
He's not too old to learn.
No. Right.
He's even as a head coach.
Well, and this is,
what
you know.
What would Nick Saban do?
Right. This is, I'm really mad at you because I was worried about you.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he was, but you see that with your kids. You're screaming.
It would have been great at the end if he had said, listen, man, I love you.
Right.
And I want to see what's best for you.
I was actually even hoping that. Go on the entire tirade and
just
then
totally flip it.
And just finish it up right way.
What can I do for you? And I'm sorry you're going through this. This is very difficult. And I'm glad we're finally sitting together and we're talking about this. But what can I do for you? I love you as a player. I recruited you. I brought you here. And I want to see what's best for you. And we're here to give you all the resources you need.
Lane Kiffin doesn't talk that way.
Now let's go kick some Georgia ass.
Lane Kiffin doesn't talk that way.
No. No, he doesn't, but he should. And it's something. Listen, Lane Kiffin's young.
Yes. Right.
He's not Nick Saban. He's not 70 years old. He's not a Kirby smart. He hasn't been coaching as long as
I mean, again, if Lane was one of my clients, all I would say is...
Let me ask you this. Yeah. If you're DeSanto Rollins' teammate, and you've heard that, what do you think? Are you like, oh, that's a sold hat? Or, man, I'm not going to screw up now. Or I better be on time for practice next week.
Oh,
do you
yeah.
learn anything from it as a player? Or is this...
No.
I can guarantee these players have heard it, have seen it. Maybe they haven't had it specifically personal to them.
Yeah.
But,
well, but that's the thing. If Lane's like that a lot,
yeah.
that's the problem. It's like it's what you just said. If you got a coach or a boss or a whoever or a parent
mm-hmm.
who's constantly going off.
Yeah. And I don't know if Lane Kiffin's like that.
Oh, I don't know.
I've heard him go off before, but not to that extent.
Right.
I've seen him speak on national television many times, and he is very calculating. I think because he is a disciple of Nick Saban, we think that he's going to use all those coaching, using the process, blah, 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 blah. And I think he's learned a lot of that from Nick Saban.
That's right.
But he's still his own coach.
He sounded to me. He sounded to me. Yeah, no, well, not that. But he sounded to me like, because again, this is one of the scholarship players. It was stressing him out. It's an important issue.
Mm-hmm.
Not the mental health part. It's like, where is he? What's going on? I don't know. We've got game. We got a big game. You know, there's all this other thing. And you're right. And then he decides to walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you, I've had graduate students who just go MIA.
Yeah.
And we got a grant due. We got something. I'm trying to reach out to them. I can't find them.
How'd you deal with it?
Huh?
How'd you deal with it?
Well, two things. I did not go on a rant on F-bombs to them. I was frustrated. I was pissed off. I did not know that in both these cases, there were, A, for one of them, it was a mental health problem,
mm-hmm.
and B, the other one was going through a divorce. And when I found out, I was very clear. Number one, don't go, you know, and I said, why didn't you, like Lane, why didn't you just tell me?
Yeah.
Or at least tell me that you're not going to be here. Like, that's not right. I'm like, well, I was, you know, I was upset. I was in a bad place. And I said essentially to me, no excuse. You work for me. All you need to do, even if you didn't want to tell me specifically what's going on,
yeah.
you needed to say to me, I need to take a leave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in a, you know, I've got things I need to do,
yeah.
and I'm out. Because what that says to me or a coach or a boss is that then I can't count on you for however much time.
Yeah.
This is why we have, listen, in corporations, this is why we have disability leave.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we have HR departments. There are processes for this. And what I don't know and what may have happened is those processes weren't followed on either side. Because here's the other thing, to be honest with you, and this is just a little bit of a ding on Lane. He's a coach at Ole Miss. He could have found out, you know, like even if the player sort of went MIA, he could have found out. So that's the part to me that
could have asked some of his roommates, teammates.
He could have asked
his coaches,
the athletic department. He could have asked the campus. He could have asked any of the
if he was actually getting help. He could have found out that way.
Any of that, and that's the part to me that just again.
That's what stinks about this whole story because
yep.
God love him if he's going through some mental disabilities or some mental issues. And dark place, I get that. But somebody's got to know.
Well, and listen.
He can reach out to his parents.
Here's the other thing. This does happen. It happens with players a lot. They are A, young. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that puts them in that college student, 19, 20. Maybe the first time he's ever had a problem like this, maybe in a super dark place, maybe super scared. Mm-hmm. And kids, much to Lane's point. Okay, so that's number one. And then two, with the sports thing, this is where the mental health issue becomes a big issue. This is why people like Rachel Barbeau are doing what they're doing. Is it's one thing to say I got pancreatitis.
Yeah.
I got hospitalized for diverticulitis.
Yeah.
It's another thing to say I got this. I'm scared.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening to me.
And I'm not supposed to be scared because I'm
a football player, athlete. Yeah. Yeah. That's the part with the mental health piece. It's the symptoms are horrible.
Yeah.
But you can't just say my elbow hurts.
Yeah.
And so I think that only adds to the ghosting.
Think of Kevin Love. Think about Simone Biles.
Yes.
Think about all these athletes at the highest levels, and you're like. And unless you've been through it and understand it, you don't get it.
On Simone Biles.
Oh, no.
Then she came back and she got two moves named after her.
Yeah, and what's strange is it normally happens when you're not performing at the level you're supposed to.
Right.
Simone Biles wasn't doing that in the Olympics, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, she's using that as an excuse because she's not performing at a high level, which is ridiculous. And it happened with Kevin Love, it happened with everyone else. There's a reason why they're not performing at that level because they're not there. They're not in the present. They can't.
Right.
And so it's kind of like, oh, you know, it's like the pitcher gives up six runs in the first inning, and all of a sudden he realizes he has a hangnail. Oh, he had a hangnail. Well, that's why you get the six. No, I mean, there's a reason for that. All right, we'll talk about Fox 6, yes.
Yeah, we got to go.
Yeah, we got to get going. We're going to be on Fox 6 at 9:35 this morning. We'll talk about Josh's escape route and me just leaving the room. Keep moving. Hover. Don't ever sit down. During Thanksgiving, don't sit down. For about 17 hours, and you're going to be fine. Just keep moving around the room. Jellyfish.
That would be weird.
Float around.
Then people think something's wrong with you.
Yeah. Or, you know, eat a big meal and take a nap and sleep through it.
Yeah.
Or.
Pretend you're sleeping.
Or, if you've got a good body there, go poop.
No, that's a whole. I mean,
people leave you alone when you go poop.
No, but you can't poop in someone else's house like that.
Well, sure you can.
No, you can't.
Oh, yeah, you go to the back bathroom, yeah.
What if they only have one bathroom?
And then
you got to find the bathroom and do you, oh, this is
lock
a whole,
the door.
This is a whole.
Take your phone in there.
Do you go in the master bedroom?
Yeah. You use a master bedroom.
Only if they say it's okay.
Yeah. Well, if you're at someone's house, you know, you're in someone's house, then the house is open, unless you say this is my den.
What if the door's closed?
A lot of,
the master bedroom.
No, the master bedroom door is always closed. But you're like, hey, can I use the bathroom? And then they'll say first door on the right, or, you know, say, hey, listen, it's going to be 6 or 7 hours because I'm getting out of this. Can I go back to the bedroom? Yeah, if it's your brother or sister or something like that, or a family member, yeah, you should be good.
You need to ask, though, before you go to the master bedroom.
Yeah.
I feel like that's...
So you do the turkey the whole 9 yards?
Well, not anymore. I'm so depressed.
See, and I'm trying to figure out what... Because my kids...
I know.
My kids don't eat... They like turkey.
Yeah, I know.
They want turkey. And they're like, we want a real... Thanksgiving this year because they haven't had a real they want me to cook a turkey.
Oh, you don't have to.
No, that's what they want.
No, I know, but you don't have to. You can drop cash. Whole Foods. Do a whole thing.
Huh?
It's not even that expensive.
Whole Foods?
Yeah, Whole Foods. The entire stuffing, everything, and it's really, I'm serious. I know that sounds bougie,
yeah.
But I looked. It's, you get, and it feeds four, and you get mashed potatoes,
yeah,
green beans,
yeah,
stuffing, gravy, cranberries.
Oh, I'm in, dude.
And a turkey for like, I don't know, for four, like I think it's $99.
Whole Foods?
Yeah,
I'm in.
I know. That's what I'm doing. Okay. I'm getting it for myself.
And then you put it in the oven and make it look like you're cooking
yourself.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Your kids are young enough.
That's good.
Your kids are young enough.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah, because they don't do leftovers. I do leftovers.
Oh, I do leftovers.
I love
it. I eat that damn turkey until I'm taking the bone, sucking on the bone, and then using it as a toothpick, and then, but there is a, oh man, that's another thing. We got to go. That's a whole other.
You pumpkin pie or pecan?
Hate pumpkin pie.
Really? It's got to have a lot of whipped cream on it.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of whipped cream, like half and half.
Yeah, because then it's just whipped. I like the whipped cream. I like pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
I love the turkey though, turkey and cranberry. If I'm on the deathbed, if I get some terrible illness, and I'm on my deathbed and I forget this, please remember for my last meal, I need you to bring me turkey and stuffing. Even if we got to put it in the NG tube.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, check us out on Fox 6. Hey, also don't forget, I got another TV show with Kip Kiefer called The Starting Lineup. It's on every Saturday morning. We're 12-3-1 on our last 16 picks on that show. If you've been watching that show, you've been making some serious jack. It's called The Starting Lineup on ABC 3340, 10:30 to 11 o'clock every Saturday morning. Check us out this week. Southern Precision Staffing, one of our great sponsors, is going to be on the show.
Nice.
We'll be picking some ball games, so we're looking forward to that. And we're going to be actually recording that show on Monday of next week because it is Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving a week from today. So enjoy your blessed day. We're not doing a show next Thursday.
No.
We'll be off next Thursday. Maybe next Wednesday. You want to do Wednesday morning?
We could.
Curry and Claypool Wednesday morning?
Maybe.
Come on,
I got to look at my client schedule.
Oh,
sorry.
Your clients, no one gets sick on Thanksgiving, do
it's
they?
It's not sick. I'm a psychologist.
They don't need psychologists on...
I'm a coach. I'm not even a psychologist. They need coaching because all their employees are... Everybody's gone early in the day.
I hear you. Watch us on Fox 6 coming up here in a few minutes. Thanks for watching.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.